and use God. People that make God like a fire truck or an ambulance, they just want him when they yell the loudest. Proverbs 1:24 begins a warning from the Lord and says, because I've called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You said it not all my counsel, you were none of my reproof. Therefore, I'll laugh at your calamities. I'll mock you when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a whirlwind and your destruction cometh upon you. When fear and anguish come upon you, you'll seek for me, but you'll not find me. You'll call upon me, but I won't hear you, saith the Lord. Let me tell you, there's a time coming when people that's using God, trying to use God, they've used up a lot of the blessings and benefits of Calvary through the prayers of another. They think they're using God. And it's like Lot. It's because of the prayers of Abraham. It's because of the blessing of Abraham that comes upon some individual that someone is praying for, a member of your family or a friend or a neighbor or a loved one. You pray for them, and God's grace is all around them to care for them and provide for them and just lavish them with things they never dreamed of because of your prayers. And then finally, God says, I'm tired of it. I'm going to take that blessing away. They live one of these kind of a lives like Americans today. I've got Uncle Sam on my side. I can get welfare and food stamps, and I've provided for Social Security and hospitalization and Medicare and retirement benefits and other fits and benefits. I'm all fitted up. Let me tell you something. They all gonna go away too. It hasn't been a very long honeymoon with Uncle Sam. I remember back in the 40s when all this mess started. Well, it was initiated in the 30s, but it really began some of these benefits in the 40s, and it was really way up in the early 70s before all this welfare mess got to be so prevalent. And it's got out of hand. And you talk to folks, and they don't really need God. They've got Uncle Sam. Or they've got Mom and Daddy, you know, subsidizing their sins in rebellion. Or they've got an insurance company. And they're safe and secure until tragedy strikes. Let me tell you something, Uncle Sam and an insurance company, Mom and Daddy can't do nothing about. That's when that old cancer found in your body. And it's inoperable. That brings the prince and the pauper right down to the same level. You can have the best doctor in the world, and you're right on the same level exactly. In Proverbs 5:11-13 says, from God's warning, and thou shalt mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, you look at that old rotten flesh and say, how did I hate instruction? Why did my heart despise reproof? Why did not hearken to the voice of my teachers and incline mine ear to those that tried to instruct me in the right way? What in the world is wrong with me? When you look at that rotten flesh, and there's no remedy, there's no way back to health and youth. There's no way back to recovery of that which has been lost because of sin and rebellion. Isaiah 26 and verse 16, God warns his own people. For Isaiah is speaking for the Lord, and he says these words. He said, Lord, in trouble they'll visit you. They'll pour out a prayer when your chastening is upon them. You go to the doctor, you get pain, and after a while you begin to realize it. We got a young lady here in the ministry. She's not present this morning. She's working today. We need to pray earnestly for her father. He's a good friend of mine. I've known him most of my life. Commercial fisherman. He had a spot on his lung. Up to about a week ago, it's just a spot. And he's rebellious. Don't want to talk about God. But he went to the doctor last week. They got in there and operated. He's going to take the spot off the lung. They found that cancer had his whole vital system in its talons. Inoperable. Sew him back up. Suture up all the blood vessels and everything there that they can and put him back together. No hope. I'll use God. I'll take what God's got. I'll take all he'll give me. I'll smoke the cigarettes. I'll blow the smoke in his face. I'll burn the candle of my life on both ends. And I don't have to answer God. Yeah, but you do. There's a fellow in the Bible that Jesus benevolently put in the Bible because of his compassion in the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. He told the story here of a rich man. He said, this rich man, let me read this beginning of verse 16, Luke 12. Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. The Lord can use real stories as parables. This man used God. He used everything God gave him. He used affluence until he had no place to store the affluence that God had blessed him with. His ground, his business brought forth by the handfuls, plentifully. So he thought within himself, while he's still young, what shall I do? I have no room to bestow all of my fruits. Everything God's given me, I don't have room to put it. And he said to himself, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said unto him that very night, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Deuteronomy 8:18 says it's God that giveth power to get wealth. If you have wealth, it's God that gave it. Every rich man owes God a fortune because God gave him that wealth. See, and it says here, verse 21, here's the whole summarization of this story. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Lord, I'm going to eat everything you give me. I'm going to gobble it up. I'm going to the buffets. I'm going to pay $4. And I'm going to eat everything I want and eat a whole lot more than what I need. I'm just going to eat and eat and eat and drink, drink, drink. And I'm going to feel and I'm going to see and I'm going to taste and I'm going to smell. And I'm going to hear until I'm crammed with the vanities of life. Then when your old health is gone, your body is diseased, God says, now answer me. Now answer me. What are you going to do? Like Jesus said in Mark 8:36-37. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul when your soul is going out of your body into hell after you've rebelled against God? Here's the end, and Jesus sums up the end of those that try to use it and don't let him use our lives. Matthew 7:21, beginning in verse 20 rather. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Speaking of these preachers that want to manipulate you and use you, you'll know them by their fruits. I could preach an hour on preachers that use God instead of God using them. By their fruit you'll know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. On judgment day, here's the picture. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, like the sons of Sceva, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have we not cast out devils? Some of these old guys on TV running around the country. In thy name. Don't you know, Lord, we've done many wonderful works in your name. We've used your name. We've used you. We've lived it out. We've manipulated your people. We've fooled them. We've skinned them. We've deceived them. We haven't preached to them your word. We've given them sweet nothings for everything they've got. We've taken it and used it for ourselves. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. These guys, God's not using them. Most Christians, God's not using them. They're using God. Because God's good, and he shines his sun on the good and the evil, and he sends his rain on the just and the unjust. And according to Ecclesiastes 8 and 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily upon the sons of men, therefore the heart is fully set in them to do evil. Just because God don't strike them down dead while they're using it up, and while their strength and energy and youth is still something to be admired. God says at the judgment day it's going to be different. I'll tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You that rebelled against me. You wanted to use me. You used up everything I gave you. You wore them good clothes. You used the wool and the flax and the nylon. You used the fat chickens in copper bottom pots. You ate them. You ate the thick steaks. You slept on good beds. You rode in good automobiles. You had good health most of your life. And you forgot me. Now depart from me. I never knew you. You tell him all the time, I did something good in life. Yeah, but the thing about it is, we didn't let God use our lives. Jesus says, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. The response of his message of that day by the hypocritical Christians were, we're Abraham's seed and we've never been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you'll be made free? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that committeth sin is a slave to sin. And the slave abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. And if the son shall therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed.